you always hear like, oh, failure is an opportunity to learn and to grow. But for me, it's still like failure just was such a no-no for me. I didn't want to get near it. But like after this experience, failure just seems like something that is a learning opportunity for me, even though it's like completely against what I personally thought of before.
Hey there, I'm Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy, a podcast about sticking with moments that challenge us. We share the stories of real people in moments that challenge their perspective. And instead of getting angry or shutting down, they stuck with the discomfort. They stayed curious and open, and they're glad they did. We hope these stories inspire you to stick with it too, because there is so much to gain. New empathy, deeper relationships, more clarity about our own views. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's get uncomfy. Here's a story about a teenager taking a fresh look at failure. I'm joined by Malu Estevam. She's a high school freshman, and she moved to the U.S. with her family when she was 5 years old from Brazil. Malu, hi. I'm so glad to have you today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You have the distinction of being the youngest guest on Uncomfy so far, so congratulations.
I'm very excited. Thank you.
Well, I sought you out because I heard you tell this story at a story slam recently, and I knew that we needed to get you on the podcast. I'm so happy that you agreed. So the stick with it moment that gave you some discomfort happened during a study session for your high school math class. You were really stressed out. Why? Why was math giving you so much trouble?
So I am a year advanced in math class. So even though I'm in ninth grade, I am in a 10th grade math class. And I was really struggling because the school that I went to before didn't really teach me everything that I needed to know about ninth grade math so I could fill in those gaps when I take 10th grade math classes. And I was really stressed because I had been talking to my counselor about this. And she said that I needed to pass this test that was coming up in 10th grade math, and I only had one chance, and if I didn't pass this test, I would be put back into 9th grade math. And I really, really didn't want to go back because for me, that was degrading my capability. Even though I knew that I would be okay, I didn't want to do that. So I was really stressed out because I had to study, I had to cram this all in my head, and I needed to pass this test.
Is doing well academically like really important to you, part of your identity?
So important to me. It's like because my parents immigrated here from Brazil, Brazil is a wonderful place. The people are amazing. The culture is awesome, but there's just not a lot of opportunity there the same that is here. So my parents moved to the U.S. and they gave me such a huge opportunity that I decided that I needed to take advantage of. And I always try and prove myself to them, and I try to do my best in everything so that all of their hard work, all their sacrifice, because they moved away from family too. They moved away from friends. So I needed to prove to them that everything that they're going through is going to be okay and that I can do whatever they need me to. So academic has always been important to me. It's always been my end goal, everything that I work for. But at the same time, I've also been really social. So I did cheer, I did student council, I did cross country, I did frisbee, I did all these extracurriculars, I did photography, I was a part of yearbook. And I was able to find a balance between academic and social. So I wasn't always stuck on homework, but I wasn't always out of my house and not studying or anything. So I was always been able to find a good state of equilibrium kind of thing.
But you also have always really had high standards for yourself,
for sure.
It sounds
yeah.
like
when I did cross country and like all these other extracurriculars, I was always like, oh, I have to be top. So while I was doing these social things, I was always like, okay, I gotta do this really good. If I'm doing this, I'm gonna do this amazing.
Yeah. And up to this point, when you were a freshman but really struggling with this 10th grade math class, up to this point, had you ever really like not been able to do what you needed to do? Was this your first brush with maybe not succeeding?
When I first moved into a charter school, since like it was a charter school, the pace was really different. And so I was in fourth grade math, even though I was in third grade. So I had to get used to that in fourth grade. So I remember sometimes staying up till midnight finishing homework with my mom. But then after that, I got used to charter school pace. And from like fourth grade to eighth grade, I was totally fine. That's why it really shocked me when I couldn't keep up with everything.
So you did pretty poorly on the first test. Is that right? Is that how you discovered that, like, ooh, maybe things are not so good here?
Yeah. So before the first unit test that I needed to study for, there was a ninth grade math test to just see how much you remembered or just see how much you learned last year. And I took that test and I got, I think it was a 9 out of 38, which is like so bad for me, especially because I need that academic validation. I just felt so bad. I couldn't process the fact that I failed a test.
Then that's when your counselor starts telling you you might need to go back to ninth grade math.
Exactly.
And so what did you do to try to prepare for this test?
My school ends at 3:40. So I stayed after school every single day until 5 p.m., finishing homework, studying, talking to the teacher. I was so crammed. I needed to make sure that I understood everything so that when the test comes, I was like, okay, I know how to do this.
Okay, so that brings us then to the night before this big test. You're carrying all this weight on your shoulders, you have really high expectations of yourself, and you have a pretty uncomfortable realization that night. So tell us what went through your mind.
Yeah, so the night before the test, I was looking through my study guide just to make sure that I knew everything. And I came across a problem that reminded me of one of my friends. And it reminded me of her because the day before, when I stayed after school to study, she saw me doing one of the problems, and she's a ninth grade math. So she saw me do it, and she was like, well, I don't get that. Can you explain that to me? So I started explaining it to her, and even though she didn't need to know this, there wasn't a test about this, but she was so determined to know it. And that shocked me a lot because why would you want to know it if you don't need to know it? And I've always had this definition of smart, and it was being valedictorian, always being a straight A student, always being on top every time. But after she said that to me, she is like one of the smartest people I know. And it's not because she's like valedictorian or she's top of her class. It's because she really works to understand concepts and she wants to know how to apply them in her life. So she doesn't really follow the same definition of smart. She is smart in a way that I never thought a person could be smart. So that was very uncomfortable for me, for sure.
What was uncomfortable about it, do you think, Malou?
I feel like there were a couple things. One was that my friend was smarter than me, kind of thing. And I was like, oh, wow, she wants to know this and I don't. That's kind of, it hurt me. It hurt my academic validation attitude. I was like, oh, wow, somebody is better than me, I guess. And it also hurt me, like it was an uncomfortable realization because I noticed that I had put all this pressure on myself and it was something that was in about high school. Being valedictorian, being straight A's is only something that you can achieve in high school. And I had this realization that smartness goes beyond high school. You can be smart and be in college. You can be smart and be a mom. It's just completely different situations that you can be smart in. So that was uncomfortable for me because I realized that I've been getting it wrong all this time. That's not really what it means.
Thank you for sharing that. That's such a level of self-awareness that you have, Malou. That's really impressive. So tell us what happened then. So how did it go the next day with the test?
Yeah, so I walked into my class and I was ready to take the test. I was like, I studied, I did my part, I can do this. And then I got my test and there were like two questions on the second page. I completely forgot. And I was like, what? How is this possible? I studied. And I was trying not to freak myself out because I was like, it's okay, I can do this. It's not the end of the world. So I did what I could. I tried to remember, but I didn't really remember everything. So after I did that, I got out of the classroom and I was not feeling it. I was like, I know that I got like a C. I know that I failed this. It's okay though. gonna breathe. It's not gonna ruin my weekend. I'm okay. And then I got back to school on Monday, and my friend, she was like, okay, the teacher put up our scores online. Go check, go check. So I opened up my phone and I went online, and I was so not expecting anything. I was just, it's fine. I know it's gonna be a C, so.
Were you okay at that point with like maybe going back to ninth grade math? I mean, had you sort of made peace with that?
Yeah, I definitely made peace with it because of the realization that I had the night before. I thought, it's okay. Like, my friend, she's in ninth grade math and she's incredibly smart. So I want to follow her example and be like that. So I've made peace with my inner demons kind of thing. I knew that if I went back to ninth grade, I'd be okay. My parents wouldn't love me less. I would still be smart. I just needed to adjust. And so, yeah, I was definitely okay with it. It was just a little disappointing for me because it wasn't my end goal. So that's why when I opened my phone and I saw that the teacher put our scores online, I'd gotten a 53 out of 60, which was an A minus. And I was so proud of myself. I didn't let my parents down for one. And I felt proud of myself because I did everything that I needed to. I studied and I did my part, and I also got the end result that I needed. I worked to achieve my goal and I did really, really well.
So how do you think about success and failure now? Is it different?
Ooh, definitely different. You always hear like, oh, failure is an opportunity to learn and to grow. But for me, it's still like failure just was such a no-no for me. I didn't want to get near it. But for now, like after this experience, failure just seems like something that is a learning opportunity for me, even though it's like completely against what I personally thought of before. But it makes me reflect on what I did wrong kind of thing, so that next time when the same situation happens or similar situation happens, I don't make the same steps that I did and I can avoid that failure. So it's an opportunity to learn for next time. That's my way of seeing failure. And it's also an opportunity to show people how I evolved as a person. Like, if I hadn't failed that ninth grade math test, I would not have had this realization of how smart and success is something that you can achieve outside of high school. It doesn't have to be this like funnel vision kind of thing.
So tell me what your hopes and dreams are. I'm sure you have them. You seem like the kind of person who does. What are you hoping to do with your life, Malou?
Yeah, so my uncle, who's very close to me, is a lawyer, and the idea of being a lawyer has always been there in the back of my mind. I love to read, so that, oh, a lawyer sounds perfect for me. I think it would be a great opportunity for me. And so I definitely want to be a lawyer and go to Harvard. I want to go to the best of the best. And actually, this idea of being a lawyer and going to Harvard, it's always been there, of course, but I really solidified when I went to Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago with my dad just for a fun trip. And I had a chance to go to the National Archives and see the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and all those like priceless artifacts. And I was so excited. I was just like ecstatic. I couldn't comprehend the fact that I am seeing this artifact that was signed and made over 200 years ago, and it's still here. Like, that's amazing. So as I was leaving like the rotunda where it's at, I was talking to my dad, and we were just talking about how it's amazing how something like this could really make a country. Like, it made America, and that's amazing to me. And I remember I got, it made me so emotional. It's kind of silly, but it made me so emotional that I started crying, and I was like, wow, a lawyer could really be something that means a lot to me, and that I could help other people. I could defend the Constitution, I could defend my country. So that's definitely something that happened to me that solidified my dream.
Malou, this has been so much fun. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us
Of
today.
course, of course.
That was Malou Estevam. She is a high school freshman and just impressive, right? Listen, thanks for getting uncomfy with us today. I really love hearing the stories of moments when we get a little uncomfortable and we choose to kind of lean into that and see what it can teach us, how we can stay open and curious in those moments. For Malou, it was a personal recognition. Sometimes it can be getting outside of our comfort zone or encountering someone with a perspective that challenges us. I'd love to hear your uncomfy stories. So email me, uncomfy@byu.edu. We might even include you on the show. And be sure to check out my other podcast, Top of Mind, where each episode explores a tough topic. We don't take a side. We look for perspectives that are going to challenge us to feel a little uncomfortable so that we can practice this skill in our lives as well. You can find Top of Mind on all the podcast platforms. Uncomfy is a BYU radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it, and the team includes Enrique Prado, James Hoops, and Sam Payne. Our theme music was composed by Kelsey Ney. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week. One quick thing before you go. If you're looking for a podcast the whole family can enjoy, check out the new show Constant Wonder Kids. It takes stories from the BYU Radio original podcast Constant Wonder and transforms them so kids can join in on the adventure. Together, you can discover fascinating facts and true stories about amazing people doing incredible things in nature, like diving deep into the ocean to meet an unexpectedly friendly whale shark, or cheering for tiny athletes at the International Hedgehog. Yeah, I said Hedgehog Olympic Games. You can find Constant Wonder Kids on the BYU Radio app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.